This is the Chorus Call operator. The Q&A session is going to start now. First question, Matteo Bonizzoni, Kepler Cheuvreux. Can you hear me now? Yes, I got three questions. First question, target of net debt by the end of the year, 1.1 billion. Euro confirmed the target. Making the calculation, in the past years, in Q4 every year, you managed to reduce your debt by roughly 200 million. In 2014, we know that you managed to reduce it by 300. But starting from 1,230,000,000, if the seasonal nature of business hasn't changed, we can expect something better than what you announced. And I would like to know whether you plan to achieve the same amount of a debt reduction, or whether you prefer to stick to 130 million reduction. And then about the Canadian project, how much was the value involved in the bridge agreement that had a positive impact on cash generation in Q3? And then the profit zero that you post, what does it imply? Because the markets do not know what the extra cost of the project was vis-à-vis the original budget. In other words, should there be no revisitation of the new baseline and the milestones, what would be the margin on this contract? I believe it would be zero. Can you please elaborate on this? And then the concessions projects in Italy, where you are high level of work in progress, we know that the book value, what the book value of these assets is. So what do you expect it to cash in vis-à-vis the book value of these assets? And I'm referring to the Milan subway, Line 5, and the Tuscany Hospital. All right, I will be answering all your questions, but I would like to start with the last one. Clearly, we are currently negotiating asset disposal. So at this stage of negotiations, I wouldn't like to mention any value, any book value, any amounts contained in the offers. A clear mandate has been given for negotiations. Negotiations are well ahead. And I don't think it's fair at this stage to disclose any figure. So you cannot ask us to mention any figure at this stage of negotiations because of the confidentiality nature of the negotiations. It's not that we do not want to answer your question. It's just because since we are negotiating, if we mention any figure, we would weaken our position. So this is it. The only thing I can tell you is that our asset plan is rolling, is going on. We are carrying it out with great determination. We are, as I said, conducting negotiations, and as soon as such negotiations are completed, we'll be informing and updating the market. As for Canada, the bridge agreement is $150 million. As for the project value, and we already spent a long time discussing this during the previous conference call. Again, we are negotiating. Negotiations are going in Canada. We have, of course, our conditions that we have submitted to the client. I already said that we have posted a zero profit because this is the worst scenario possible that we can expect. But we are confident that during the negotiations we may achieve something better than this. But consider that negotiations are ongoing, again, it wouldn't be fair to disclose any figure or make any forecast. Currently, profit is zero. As soon as negotiations are completed, we again will be updating the market about the result of the negotiations. As for the net debt, I didn't mention the figures randomly, or it's not just what I would like to see. I mean, we have carried out an in-depth analysis. If you look at page 20, you see what the steps are that will lead us to that target. Of course, we set up a task force devoted to this. What happened in Q4 in the past years has been anticipated this year. So you see what we managed to do in Q3. So we managed to reduce a substantial percentage our net working capital. Considering the reduction of the concession capex as well, we have now a lower net working capital. So we have also mentioned the advance payments from new contracts awarded to us. We are focusing on the cash flow generation of our new contracts. We have the EBITDA that contributes. So we're talking about real facts and figures. I mean, these are all activities that we are carrying out, and we are confident that we'll be able to achieve that target. But we are monitoring something real again, and I do hope I've answered all your questions. Okay, thank you very much. Next question. Giuseppe Mattelli, Equita. Good evening. I got a number of questions again. First, the deterioration of margins that you expect for Q4, if I understood correctly, because you had margins that were higher in the first 9 months of the year, and so you expect low margins for the end of the year. Can you elaborate on this? Because I expected that the market force that contributes zero in terms of margins, we should see an opposite effect in Q4. And then investments. You announced 70 million of equity and semi-equity investment made over the past month. Can you break down by equity and semi-equity, and can you tell us what you expect for the end of 2016? And third question, depreciations and amortization. I've noticed they are very low in Q3, roughly 3 million if I made my calculation correct. So normally, you are at 15-20 million on average. So what happened to amortization depreciations in Q3? Well, as for margins, I want to be absolutely clear in this regard. We had set ourselves targets that were slightly lower than what we managed to achieve. But this did not happen accidentally. I mean, we set ourselves targets, but then the company operated to improve those targets, or to exceed, I should say, those targets, not to remain below them. So we have managed to have higher EBITDA and EBIT results that are slightly higher than our strategy plan target, and we are doing our best to remain at that level. So having targets doesn't mean that you have to stick to them. Quite the reverse. We are doing our best to exceed those targets. Then we do not expect a deterioration of margins in Q4, as you said, because we are performing very well. We are confident that we'll be able to have a full year EBITDA and EBIT margins that are going to be higher than our strategy plan targets. As for CAPEX and the breakdown of the 70 million of CAPEX over the past 9 months, please contact our investor relator manager, and she will be providing you with all the details that you may need. Now, I wouldn't like to dwell on each and every investment that we made. Anyway, you have a report of the investments in our report. But it's mainly Turkey and Chile, but you can find all the details in our quarterly report. And then as for depreciation and amortization, I let Mr. Taucci answer this question directly, so I can take a break. In Q3, we resorted less to special machines like TPN machines that are generally used for drilling. And this time, I mean, in Q3, we didn't have to drill anything, so this is why we have a lower amortization and depreciation. And but considering that we went on developing our projects, we, of course, relied on subcontractors, and this partially offsets the lower depreciations and amortization. So this then has an impact on EBIT, which is in line with the previous quarters. Next question, Andrea Balloni, Fidentiis. Good evening. I only have a couple of questions. The first concerns the concessions of Line 5 subway in Milan and the Tuscany hospitals that you mentioned as the assets that are most likely to be disposed of in the near future. I would like to know whether the disposal of some of these assets may be completed by the end of this year, of 2016. And then my second question concerns the progressive disposal of your stake in the third bridge on the Bosphorus River in Turkey. Again, can you expect to dispose of it by the first month of next year? And can you please remind me of how much you invested in terms of equity and semi-equity in this concession? Well, considering you are asking for details about concessions, I would like to invite the CEO of Astaldi Concessioni to answer this question. It's again Mr. Mauci. So as for the Line 5 of the Milan underground and the Tuscany Hospital, we have completed all the due diligence activity required. So at this stage, we have already been submitted a number of offers that we are analyzing. Then, in terms of timeline, we do not want time to affect the negotiations, because what is important for us is achieving a result that is in line with our expectations. So we are not in a hurry. In other words, we don't want to do anything to complete negotiations by a certain deadline. What is important is the final result of the negotiations. But considering the stage of negotiations, we can say we'll be able to achieve the exit in the near future. Of course, disposal of assets requires a number of procedures to be complied with, and this is something that takes time, and we had to take account of it. This is why one thing is signing the contract and one thing is closing the deal. So the signing is closer than the closing time, let's say. As for our semi-equity and equity invested on the third bridge, we have roughly 220 million euro equivalent, because of the original investment is dollar. So I got a 54 million equity, 165 million euro in semi-equity. And this because together with our partner, we decided to finance the project resorting more to semi-equity because it's more liquid. And this is the technical solution that we adopted that will make us to, again, cash in the value of the project in a short time. But this is something that, as we already pointed out, we'll be doing by the first year of next year, so we confirm this deadline, more or less. Next question, Alessandro Tortora, Mediobanca. Good evening. I got a set of questions. First question, page 18 of your presentation. I would like to understand how the evolution of debt over the past 9 months can be combined with the evolution you expect for the next 3 months, considering the Chile project. Because if I understand correctly, Chile will generate some credit, like 100 million related to the concession. So it's a positive post when you calculate your net debt. And I would like to know whether this goes hand in hand with the guidance you provided for the full year of 2016. And then I got other questions. So my second question is the following. I would like you to comment on the assumption of advanced payments. I understood that your focus is on... We cannot hear you anymore, Alessandro. This is the interpreter. The conference call is currently suspended because there are problems with the line, with the telephone lines. So the conference will be resumed as soon as possible. The conference call is now resumed. Thank you very much. We do apologize for the interruption. Alessandro, can you hear us? Yes. I don't know when you stopped hearing me. Well, you were talking about advance payments. Well, my question about advance payments, yes, I would like to know how do you expect advance payments to grow going forward, at a time when the industry is under pressure in terms of advance payments, while you expect to have advance payments going back at the same level of 2-3 years ago. Well, can you please comment on this? Because other players are suffering from this point of view. And my third question is about Line 5 of the subway in Milan and the Tuscany hospitals. I would like to know whether the company expects to convert these concessions into semi-equity or whether you're going to dispose fully of these assets. And then my first question, I believe you heard it. Well, the question about the Chile hospital, I'll be answering this question if you don't mind. When we talk about the Chile hospital, we talk about the most relevant project that is fully consolidated in our accounts. So we have the financial debt, let's say, under liabilities, and within IFRIC 12 credit, that is the stake that provides a minimum guarantee, we have, of course, the financial credit. So they offset each other. So as a consequence, we have a substantial increase of the gross debt and limited impact of the net debt. There's a few millions, that is to say the difference of what we cash in and what we have in terms of financial debt. But then I can answer the last question, and then I leave the floor to Mr. Stinellis. As for Line 5 and the hospitals in Tuscany, the subordinated debt has no relevance whatsoever to the disposals. The buyer would actually take our equity and shareholder loan share directly. Yes, but please consider that the multiples that would be paid would make reference to the equity you paid or the semi-equity. Well, when we make the calculations, we calculate what we invested and what we cash in. We don't use multiples, honestly. What is important for us is achieving a value that rewards our investment again. As for the question about advance payments, clearly we are now refocusing on advance payments and contracts that provide for advance payments. So in the first year of 2017, we should reach 500 million euro in terms of advance payments. But this goes hand in hand with the rest of the corporate strategy that implies our refocusing on EPC contracts. So you already heard how many EPC contracts we have acquired so far, and they all provide for advance payment. So this is the direction we are following. We are certainly focusing on this. Maybe we will not be achieving the same level that we had in 2014 in the next future, but we'll certainly be able to achieve a much higher level than what we experienced in the past year. And then on page 8, you see what we have in terms of options. So these are options that may become orders. And there, of course, we have favored all those contracts that provide for advance payments. So our forecasts are based on this option portfolio, not just, again, figures made randomly. This figure is based on the option portfolio, but we are confident that many or most of those options will become contracts awarded to us in the near future. All right, then. Can I ask you a follow-up question about advance payments? During the conference call, during the presentation, you said that you are a preferred bidder for the contract in the United States. Like you, many other companies are looking for EPC contracts that provide good payment terms or advance payments. Considering there's a lot of competition in this regard, and also consider the U.S. market, there is a market where margins are rather limited in general, but then, of course, it very much depends on the nature of the project. What is your policy there? Because normally in the U.S., clients tend to pay regularly, but margins are certainly lower. So what is the compromise that you are ready to accept? Are you ready to accept a lower margin than you can normally enjoy on these products? Yes, I'm thinking how to best answer your question, considering also the example you made. The project in California. During the presentation, I said that this is a clear example of a tender where the contract is awarded on the basis of criteria other than the lowest price, where the know-how of the bidder is considered as one of the most relevant criteria. If you look at these tenders, you see that the algorithm used no longer privileges the lowest price, but rather those bidders that can, first of all, provide the good know-how and that have all the conditions to ensure the completion of the project. And this is why the technical skills account for 70% of the evaluation, and the price accounts for only 30% of the evaluation by the tendering body. So this project implies two stages. One is designing, and the second part is construction. So these are more complex projects, which generally provide a good margin, fairly good margins. Clearly, the U.S. market is less, let's say, attractive in terms of margins vis-a-vis other markets, but definitely a low-risk market. So sometimes we have to consider the margins together with the risk profile of the country. As far as this project is concerned, the client focused very much on the quality of the bid, and therefore they were ready to grant a fairly good margins to be sure that the company awarded the contract is put in the conditions to complete the project. And I hope I answered your question. Well, this is exactly what I heard from other players as well. So I wanted to understand whether you follow the same logics. But you said that you had finished with your questions. Can I ask you a very, very final question? Well, I mean, we haven't got much time left, but please ask the very last question. Yes, so the last question about Canada. So, I read on the slide, by the first year after 2017, you expect negotiations to be completed. Is that correct? Because you initially said it was by the end of the year, but yes, but also explain why negotiations were delayed. I told you why the negotiations were delayed, because it takes a bit more time now to redefine everything. So we do hope we'll be able to complete negotiations earlier than the next year after. But again, I please invite you not to ask too many questions, especially questions about details. Ask our investor relations manager, because if each and every one of you ask 10 questions, and generally these questions go back to the same topic, so we don't have room enough for all the attendees. So please, if you can, ask just a limited number of questions. Next question, conference call, English conference call, Marina Lolland, Spanning Capital.
Hi, can you hear me? Hello? I'm not sure if you can hear me. Okay, sorry. Hi, yeah, I'm sorry to repeat the question on Muskrat, and the focus there is quite important to me. As I understand it, you burned around 70 million euros in the first half of the year, and you recovered around 100 million in this quarter. The contract increase was around 100 million euros. To me, it kind of seemed like a one-off. Is that how I read it? That you basically recovered the absorption that you've had in the first half of the year. So that's the one question, and the second question is related to the timeline, because I guess in, you know, as a follow-up to the first question I asked, that means something to me. If you know, you're going for a different timeline for renegotiations for the contract value, because then I would expect more working capital absorption. And the second, or the third question would be, given that you had 70 million of outflows or absorption of working capital from Muskrat in the first half of the year, and you completed the majority of work on Gepse and Bosporus, would you be so kind and guide us through when and how much of the Turkey working capital outflow, which I presume represents the majority of the absorption in the first half of the year, how do you know, you're just, it seems like you're not collecting cash from Turkey, which is rather concerning given the circumstances in Turkey. So those sort of three questions would be great if you could answer. Thank you.
Marina, can you please allow me a couple of minutes to go through the answers,
Thank
and
you.
I'll be answering immediately.
Thank you.
All right. First of all, your question about Canada. The bridge agreement signed in July 2016 provides us for $150 million to cover the work carried out from July up to the date when negotiations are completed. There is a clause in the bridge agreement that provides for the extension of the bridge agreement should the negotiations take longer than originally expected. So, with the client, we have decided to extend the bridge agreement to cover the works that will be carried out during the winter. Clearly, the absorption of cash that will take place in the winter will be certainly much lower than it was during the spring or the summer. Anyway, we have disclosed in the bridge contract, and I believe that the Muscat Falls project will certainly not absorb as much cash as it did in the first year half of 2016. And this is also the reason why we signed the bridge agreement, to avoid this. So the clause in the bridge agreement provides for this possibility to extend the bridge agreement should negotiations take longer. And this is exactly what we are doing with the client. Clearly, in the first year after Muscat Falls absorbed the cash, it absorbed 96 million euros. So the bridge agreement made it possible to put an end to it. But again, this was part and parcel of the bridge agreement, that is to say, making operations going on. But again, negotiations are taking place. Negotiations are ongoing. We're sitting at the negotiating table with the client. Certainly, it's by no means an easy negotiation. And again, currently, I cannot disclose any value, any final value of the project, also because we cannot do that because of what recently happened, and also because the negotiations are confidential. Again, the caution that the company has adopted is that we have zero margins associated to this project for the time being. Whatever comes on the top of it will be, of course, very welcome. As for Turkey, well, it is true that we have been
very aggressive, let's say, in the first 6 months. But there are no problems whatsoever with our network of capital as far as the Turkish projects are concerned. Of course, we were particularly aggressive in the first year out, but now the situation is back to normal, and you have seen the figures reflecting this, and the net working capital is expected to drop further by the end of the year. So I do hope I answered your question.
Yeah, can I just follow up on that, on Turkey? So where is the... Sorry, can I just ask a quick question again on Turkey? So you're saying that you're...
I'm sorry. I think they will not allow you to ask a question because they left the floor to someone else. I don't know. You should ask the operator if you can ask another question.
Oh, okay, I will do that. Thank you.
Excuse me, Mr. Segura, your line is open. You can ask your question.
Thank you very much. Thanks
for
taking my question. Thank you very much. I have a question. I'm trying to track the EBITDA for the first quarter 2016, excluding the contribution from joint ventures and associates. And when you do that, you see that the EBITDA excluding those JVs and associates is 51 million euros for the third quarter compared to 63 million euros the previous year. That's a drop of 3%, and also the margins are down 120 basis points, 1.2% to 8%. Yet the revenues is up by 11% to 750 million. So I'm trying to quantify what happened. Why is there a drop in EBITDA in the construction business, where we were expecting to see an increase in EBITDA given the guidance that you've provided for the second half and the guidance for higher revenues, because you seem to be on track on that. That's the first question. The second question is, I'm trying to understand in the third quarter of 2016 the evolution of working capital. Okay, so you say that it has decreased by 90 million euros from the second to the third quarter. How much of that decrease is related to payments made for Muskrat, and how much is for the remaining business? So what we're trying to understand is, how much is the contribution in the drop of 90 million euros, excluding Muscat Falls, effectively, to see how the actual business is doing if we take that one-off outside? And then I'm trying to understand the order book, because you have not provided and compared the order book for the construction business in Q3 2016 versus Q3 2015. So if you could actually provide us with the construction order book between the two, not the absolute position, but the movement for the orders that were effectively collected for this quarter, effectively. And the final question would be with respect to Turkey. There has been a dramatic events that took place in Turkey, unfortunately, over the last few months or so, which have accelerated. How do you think that's going to affect your asset disposal program and your ability in the future to collect and produce whatever contracts were remaining for construction in Turkey? Thank you very much.
I'm sorry, just one second. I'm taking all the questions now in order, and then I'll be answering each and every one of them.
Thank you very much.
So, as for Canada, this is a topic that we have discussed at length during the previous conference call. Clearly, the political situation in Turkey showed a lot of volatility. I'm sorry, the gentleman says, I said Canada, but instead I meant Turkey. I'm sorry, because I've been asked so many questions about Canada, so...
Don't worry, that's okay.
Instead of Turkey, but then about Turkey. So we discussed this topic at length during the past conference call. We talked about the political impact on our projects in Turkey. But, I mean, you find the answers in facts and figures. In March, April last, many observers did not believe that Astaldi would be able to complete these two major large-scale projects, which turned out to be the reality. I mean, we managed to complete those projects. We managed to open the two bridges that are two extraordinary infrastructures that are performing very well in terms of traffic and the cash-ins. I mean, we are not interested in politics. We do our job. We have never had problems in Turkey, and we have been working there for 3 decades now. We're still developing the Ektik hospital with no problem whatsoever, no political interferences at all. So we're not involved in politics, so we don't want to be involved in politics. We focus on our projects, and the politics there in Turkey is not affecting our contacts there. About the two conventions, we already mentioned what we are doing with the third bridge on the Bosphorus River. As we said, we are interested in construction. As I said, if our partner in the third bridge on the Bosphorus River wants to go on with operations, we are going to dilute our stake there. So, but anyway, no impact whatsoever from the politics. As for the other contracts we have there, they are being developed. Processes are ongoing. No problems at the construction site. As for the other question about the order backlog, if you visit our website, you find all the detailed information about the 2015 as well, so you can have a look at the balance sheet and the P&L, but then if you need more details, our IR manager is available to answer. But please remember one point. Our company has always had a 1.2 book-to-bill ratio, 1.2, again, after what we said about our current backlog that is amounting to 2.5 billion, and the option portfolio amounts to 4 billion. If you make the calculations about the revenues that we expect for 2016 full year, let's say 3 billion roughly, then we will have a book-to-bill ratio above 1.1. We are focusing on it. We are confident we'll be achieving this target. We have illustrated all the tenders where we have been
awarded contracts where we are preferred bidders. I don't think there's anything else I can add in this regard, but if you need more details, please ask our investor relator manager. As for the EBIT and the EBITDA, I would like... Well, first, you also asked something about the working capital in Canada. So you asked about the impact on our working capital by Canada. Well, out of this 90 million, roughly 50 should be related to Canada. And as for EBIT and EBITDA, I would like to ask Mr. Cauci to answer this question, and then I think I've answered all the other questions. Yes, just a few words by way of introduction. We operate in an industry where we, of course, operate on a larger set of projects in a larger number of countries. So when we talk about normalized margins, we have to consider all this. And then I also would like to remind you that in the first part of last year, we had made substantial margins on some contracts, like the Polish contract or the Line 5 in Milan. But then at the end of the year, the EBITDA margin turned out to be lower. This year, we are perfectly in line with our EBITDA target for the 9 months of the year. We are actually reporting a higher EBITDA margin than the guidance provided. We expect we'll be confirming our guidance, but we hope we'll do even better than that. So what we have said, what we have reported so far, is definitely a good result in 2016, also vis-à-vis 2015. And this was clearly said when the strategy plan was disclosed. On that occasion, we provided some guidance about EBITDA and EBIT margins that were slightly lower than the previous years, but just because our business model was going to focus on lower risk areas where profitability was expected to be lower. So again, mix of profitability and risk is what guides us. So far, we believe we are well on track and even slightly better than what we expected in terms of EBIT and EBITDA margin. We confirm the target, the guidance we provided for full year 2016, hoping we'll do slightly better than that. Thank you very much. The last question from the English conference call. Marina Lolan again.
Hi, sorry, I think I got cut off. I actually don't have, I mean, my question's been answered mostly. I was just actually wondering about the disposal, just very quickly. How do you sort of prepare to collect actually prepayments and disposals and prepayments and disposal in Italy, given the political situation? Is there any risk of delays either on disposal in terms of process, red tape, and that also goes for advance payment? I know you have a big chunk from the Brennero tunnel coming in Q4, and just want to get your sort of like a comment on the situation around that. Thank you.
Just 1 second. The CEO is preparing the answers and will be answering in a minute.
Thank you.
Well, I'll try and provide you with an exhaustive answer, but first of all, I have to say that the projects that we are involved in, like the Brennero Tunnel, but please remember that Brennero Tunnel is between Italy and Austria, but anyway, these are all projects that are financed, already financed. For instance, the Brennero Tunnel project, once all the administrative procedures are completed, our client is ready to pay the advance payments. And I already pointed out in a past conference call that some Italian rules that were recently adopted have improved the terms and conditions of payment. I'm referring to a decree that was adopted by the Italian government recently that has streamlined and simplified the payment of such construction works. So, honestly, we have no concern about payments in Italy. Actually, all contracts with advance payments we had in Italy were honored by the Italian client. And I must say that also the Italian government is committed to improving the situation year on year. And this is why a number of regulations have been recently adopted to make the public administration comply and be able to honor these conditions. Of course, then when it comes to the disposal is between private entities, and then of course we dispose of our assets only when it is convenient for us, and of course we do not dispose of anything unless we cash in something. So honestly, I don't really see any problem there. A for holding disposal is a clear case in point. Then when of course the public administration is involved. This is why I provided you with more details. But here, I don't really see any concern. Thank you very much for your questions, anyway.
Thank you so much. Thank you for answering.
Mr. Tinellis, there are no more questions. The conference is over. Thank you very much. Thank you for your attention. And I do hope we'll be able to hear from you again in March next, for the disclosure of full year 2016 results. Thank you very much.